Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Today is Monday, June 11, 162nd day of the year. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. It's Faith Radio Morning. Looking forward to a good day ahead. I hope that you've had a wonderful weekend and ready for, maybe it's a week off. I don't know what your summer looks like here. June, kids off of school, and so maybe you're thinking about some vacation time or, there's not... What do you do on TV now, Logan? I mean, there's no football. Basketball's over, and
well, it's an exciting time for me because all of the video game companies are announcing what they're doing for the year.
Okay.
So,
sure.
So summer is here. Your days inside, away from the sun.
Sure. There is something I just thinking about. Now, next Sunday, of course, Father's Day, and someone has suggested that at the very least, Father's Day should mean unlimited channel surfing. So, I don't know if that may work for you.
Not your channel surfing. Your dad gets the remote.
Probably. That's right. So Barbara Johnson said, to be in your children's memories tomorrow, you have to be in their lives today. And we're going to talk about a ministry that's been reaching out to those that maybe have had some father issues, have had some challenges, have had hard times. John Ashman is the president of the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions. I didn't know this, but the AGRM is the oldest and largest faith-based charity network in the United States. Think, well, would it have been Salvation Army or one of those mission? No, the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, the oldest and largest, making a big difference. We're going to find out about their good work coming up in a few minutes. Open Doors USA is holding a day of prayer today ahead of tomorrow's gathering between leaders of the U.S. and North Korea. Open Doors hosting that online prayer summit for Christians who wish to get together in prayer and hear about the persecution of believers in North Korea. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up here in the second half hour as Ruth Kramer joins us from Mission Network News. And a good day ahead on this 11th day of June. Talking rescue missions in just a moment with John Ashman. It's 7 past the hour. Let's get started. He's on. This is Faith Radio Morning, and looking forward to spending some time now talking with John Ashman. John is president of the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, although we're going to find out right away that they are not changing their focus, but changing their name, and so we'll tell you about that in just a moment. But, if you go back in history, since about the late 1800s, rescue missions have been offering radical hospitality in Jesus' name to people who are dealing with hunger, homelessness, abuse, and addiction. Those problems are still with us, and thankfully there are ministries like the ones that John oversees that are having a great impact. So, John, welcome to Faith Radio Morning.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So let's talk about it. We thought this would be a good time to talk because your annual convention is coming up in Milwaukee starting Tuesday. But there's more than just a convention going on. You actually have a new name, right?
We are unveiling a new name. It happened on Friday, and the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, which is a real mouthful, about 13 syllables, will be known as CityGate Network in the days ahead.
And
CityGate Network kind of goes back to Bible times when the city gate was the place where people gathered. You know, Abraham and Lot sat in the city gate, not at the city gate, but in the city gate, which meant it was a large area to welcome the stranger, where people were running, could stop running when they crossed into the threshold of the city gate. It was a place where you could have your immediate needs met. Court was held there. And so we see ourselves as the city gate. A lot of people say, isn't the church the city gate? Well, in many places it is. But, you know, in a lot of high urban areas, churches are padlocked until 10 of 11 on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people are told, you go to that church and the family will never talk to you again. And other people wonder, is the government the city gate? And these days people are saying, you go to the government, they'll take your kids away. Or you go to the government and you may be on a plane to back to another country. So we look at all of the ministries that are doing life transformation, which is really what is core in our missions and kindred ministries, and say we are the city gate these days, and we are a network from coast to coast doing that kind of work.
So grateful for the 300-some agencies that are part of this network. But, John, you mentioned City Gate, but I guess we think oftentimes that the work that you're doing are with the people that are in parks and alleys and underpasses and riverbanks. That, I mean, you're since the very beginning, you've been dealing with the homeless and the addicted and the hungry. That hasn't changed, has it?
It hasn't changed, and you know, there really is a bit of a refocusing, even with our name change. And the refocusing is to just concentrate and getting more attention to the third stage of what happens in a mission, or like I'm saying, kindred ministries. There is the rescue aspect, and the rescue aspect is going out and talking to that person who's about ready to shoot up and possibly overdose, and getting them in a van and getting them to the mission. It's intercepting that woman who's running away from a pimp and saying, there's room for you in the mission. Those are rescue actions. That is rescue, and that still goes on. Then there comes the stabilization after the person has been in the mission for a while and maybe gone through an addiction recovery program, or if there's mental illness, seen doctors and have had their meds tweaked and seeing a counselor. And after that stabilization period, then comes life transformation, which is really what we're called to do. And life transformation is something like this. I'm under a bridge tonight. It's going to be below freezing. I haven't eaten in 2 days, and those men who want my shoes know where I'm sleeping. Wait, there's the mission van taking me and saying I could get something to eat and have a warm place to sleep. That's rescue. And then the person would say, well, who knows where I go from here because I'm addicted. Wait a minute, now I can get into an addiction recovery program. That's stabilization. And then after that, they can help me get my GED. They can help me with job training. They can help me job placement. They can help me find a place to stay. They can help move my son back in with me. They can put me in a church and surround me with community. That's the life transformation part. That's the longer part. That's the part that we want to measure in the days ahead, that to show what success really is.
You know, speaking of measurement, I mean, I think we all want to know, certainly in terms of maybe government programs, you know, are they effective? But how about, you know, programs, the kinds of ministry that the missions all across the nation are doing? Are they effective? Are they having impact in making life change?
They are. They are having a significant impact. The recidivism rate is very low for those who go through a program at a mission, and some of them even go back and end up working at their missions. But our goal is to get everybody that goes through a mission to end up doing their own missional living, giving back. You know, for so long, missions and other ministries talk about output statistics, you know, how many meals served. You know, I can tell you that our missions serve about 85 million meals a year. We provide about 30 million nights of lodging. You know, those are output statistics. Output measures need. The outcome statistics, you know, how many people who went through an addiction recovery program are clean and sober 2 years later? How many people who made a commitment to change their life and commit to Christ are still in community in a church 2 years later. Those are outcome statistics. Those are the ones that are take longer to measure, but that they measure success. So you can measure need or you can measure success. And we're doing more and more to measure success in the days ahead.
You know, we've heard about, growing issues like the opioid epidemic. Addictions of various kinds have always been an issue. It seems like homelessness is growing. Lots of different strategies to try and approach that. Is there an addiction and maybe a mental health connection with just about everyone that comes through your door?
Well, depending on where you are, what city, it's going to be different in some cities, but we generally find that between 30 to 70% of the people, depending again on where you are, 30 to 70% of the people who come to a mission have some form of mental illness. And so that's very significant. There's also addiction, which has to be dealt with. You mentioned about strategies. The government's strategy, and I don't fault it, but it's a strategy that culminates in a program called Housing First. And Housing First has saved thousands and thousands of lives. The Housing First is a strategy that says, let's skip all the steps from going to a street, from the street to a shelter, from a shelter to transitional housing, and from transitional housing to permanent supportive housing, and from permanent supporting of housing to your own apartment. Let's just put you in your own apartment right off the street. Like I said, that has saved lives. But we find that so many of those folks don't have the ability to stay in that house. I was with the director of our mission in Omaha a few weeks ago at HUD, Housing and Urban Development in Washington, D.C., and she was talking to the undersecretary with me, and she said, in my city, 67% of the people who go into a Housing First house or apartment are back in my mission within a year. And so what we look at is seeing what we're hoping for is seeing housing end, but we are all doing it through the process of life transformation, so people can get to the point where they're stable in a house and can stay there.
John Ashman is the president of CityGate Network. It's the new name for the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, which is a network of some 300 agencies and missions that provide training and resources and support to great outreaches in communities all across the country. And we're going to talk more with John in just a moment here on Faith Radio Morning. You're listening to Faith Radio Morning, and John Ashman is with me today. John is the president of it's the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions. They've just announcing a new name to CityGate Network, and it's the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, one of the oldest and largest faith-based charity networks in the United States. These men and women are doing great work, as we sometimes don't focus enough on. But you mentioned that we're talking a little bit before the break about, government strategy to address homelessness. Wondering, are government oversight, is that affecting your work and what you can do? Or what are some of the challenges you're facing as a ministry?
Well, right now we've got some great opportunities ahead of us. Some of the stuff that Secretary Ben Carson at U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development is putting forth are pretty exciting. What we have found is the government's strategy, which we talked about before the break, was housing first, and even rapid rehousing, which is kind of a subset of that. But all of that is based on the premise that the primary cause for homelessness is lack of affordable housing. At all of our missions and Kidron ministries, we say, yes, lack of affordable housing is a problem, but the homelessness also is because there's family dysfunction and mental illness and addiction and a lack of education and lack of job skills. And so that's all part of what we do in missions, you know, the rescue, the stabilization, and the life transformation. Secretary Carson just put forward an initiative called Envision Centers. And brilliantly, he is saying, which, you know, kind of shocks a lot of people, let's stop measuring success by the number of people we get off the street and into government housing. Let's measure success by the number of people we get out of government housing and get into their own homes. And he has based this on four strong pillars: economic empowerment, education and advancement, health and wellness, and character and leadership. And it's got some great opportunities to be implemented over the next years. And we see missions as those organizations that can really get behind the wheel of this.
By the way, you mentioned Ben Carson. I think he's one of the speakers right at your annual convention coming up this week, right?
He is. He's going to be with us in Milwaukee, and he's addressing the group for a period of time, and then he's turning it over to questions, going to do a Q&A, which is very brave.
Yeah.
But he's a great man who's got a wonderful testimony, loves the Lord, and is holding his own in Washington these days.
You know, I know one of the questions maybe that you are faced with sometimes, say, are we compassionate and erring on the side of grace? How do you address some of those maybe critiques?
Well, when we talk about compassion and what people can do, we've never done a good job in the church and throughout Christianity to say, here is the right way to help and here's the wrong way to help. You know, I talk to so many youth leaders who say, hey, we're engaged in helping the homeless, and we go down to the park and take, you know, 40 pizzas down, and all the youth hang around, and they talk to people and say, hey, we're doing this in Jesus' name, and we hope you have a great dinner tonight, and then they leave, and the next night the Methodist church goes down, and the next night the Lutheran church goes down, and the next night the Catholic church goes down. And really what we have done is become poverty pimps. You know, we think that it's compassion, but we are saying to these people, stay here because we're going to keep feeding you. We are seeing more of our missions take a very different approach. I was just at a mission in Toledo, Cherry Street Mission, and they as soon as you walk through the door, a homeless person or somebody in need, you go up to a desk. You within 90 seconds, you have a card that has your photo ID and a bar card on it, and it's top loaded with enough points to get services for a week. So you can go get food, and the food you can go get coffee and toast, which for 3 points, or you could get coffee, toast, and eggs for 5 points, and you are able to put more points on your card by accessing services. So you go and do an assessment, and you get more points. And then you enroll in a GED class, and you get more points. They've got it where they have several local colleges under their roof training people how to do automotive mechanics, welding, call center response. And for all of these things, you keep getting points. And so the value you are putting into your life is what you are using to pay for your services going forward. And ultimately, that's what is going to happen when you get out. You're going to get money, and you're going to pay for the services. That's intelligently showing compassion in a way that helps people move forward, not keep them stranded in the park waiting for the next delivery of pizzas.
You know, I think a lot of us do have that. We want to be compassionate and caring, and though you've got great missions all across the nation that are doing good work, is there maybe one key area where we could plug in, partner with you that would be most effective, that would help you the most day by day?
Well, yeah, working with the missions, partnering with them, and not just going to serve. You know, a lot of people think about serving at a mission when the holidays come around. You know, you got Thanksgiving and Christmas, and the missions are just inundated with requests to serve turkey and put mashed potatoes on the plate. You know, we would say people eat the third Tuesday in April, too, don't forget. But the idea of going to these missions and getting engaged with the people, you know, it's just wonderful to go and say, hey, I'd like to be a table chaplain. And a table chaplain just goes and gets food as well and sits at the table as people are eating and looks across the table and says, hey, Bruce, where did you start out in life? You know, really, what? And then have you seen your parents since then? You know, well, let me tell you what happened to me, a similar situation. And just engaging and starting to get conversation. Our missions are seeing as many people come to Christ and make a decision to change their life at the dining room table as they are in the chapels. And so there's great opportunities to partner and be table chaplains and be involved in programs and lead studies, not just Bible studies, but studies in economics and well-being and mental health and life skills. Those are the kinds of things that missions are wanting to see these days when people say, I want to volunteer.
John, we so appreciate the work that you're doing and the great group that you're leading, the new name now for the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, CityGate Network. And I know your annual convention, the theme is Walk in Wisdom, and we pray that you and all those who are leading missions would be infused with a fresh dose of wisdom to handle these challenging days ahead.
Thank you so much.
John Ashman with us here on Faith Radio Mornings. Coming up to 28 past the hour, their annual convention going on in Milwaukee starting tomorrow. So there'll be a great insight there. And among others, Ben Carson speaking. So you'll see in the news about that in the days ahead. Everybody's watching the news as President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un prepare for their historic summit in Singapore. We'll hear about that and more with Ruth Kramer coming up in about 10 minutes. In just a moment, though, we'll review the Ten Commandments with Lighten Up. Thirty-one past the hour on a Monday morning. Glad to have you tuned in. Faith Radio Morning's underway. I'm Neil Statham. And coming up in a few minutes, Ruth Kramer, regular part of the early morning lineup. And we'll check in with her. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in Singapore. And think about North Korea. Open Doors USA is holding a day of prayer today ahead of tomorrow's meeting between the leaders of the U.S. and North Korea. We'll talk about that and more in moments. Check that out. Great opportunity. It's Father's Day coming up, but moms would love the Christian Standard Study Bible for Women. Doing that drawing weekly. Sign up today at myfaithradio.com. Month of June's month of weddings. We're talking today about some hope for broken families. Not all marriages last, as you know, and Jackson Dunn is Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. And he says, as he explains his story, his parents got divorced when he was young. He talks about how God's grace entered into his circumstances and began healing him before he knew it.
I didn't get angry. Probably the things I got most frustrated at, just the logistics of it. My belt's down here, my basketball shoes are there, just getting frustrated of having to run back and forth. But I don't remember struggling really with identity. I'll tell you where I struggled. The biggest, I had a tough time making decisions, and the innate people pleaser in me was on overload. And where I've found to be, have been most struggled in my life and relationships and in my own identity has been really, I would say those have been the two areas I've worked the most on in probably the last 15 years. But see, that's why I want to know someone who's going through this now or staring down a divorce. Maybe you are that 18-year-old that, I don't know, that God's grace is sufficient. He doesn't want this for you. No one desires divorce, and I didn't have a choice in that. But to see, and often the perspective of others, to show the grace and the covering of God in the midst of something that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that I didn't question what I did. It doesn't make sense that I didn't have the anger and the confusion of so much that I should have had.
Jackson Dunn, Director of Marriage and Family Formation. Folks in the Family, you can hear that whole interview on myfaithradio.com. If you search for children and divorce, you'll get some encouragement there. Hope for broken families. All right, so we'll talk missions. We'll talk North Korea and more in the moments ahead with Ruth Kramer here on Faith Radio Mornings.
When it comes to what the Bible teaches, you have two choices. Embrace what it says or rationalize it away. This is Jim Garlow. It's what we do, isn't it? We embrace what the Bible teaches or we rationalize, ignore it, hoping it'll go away. Stand up and fight for what you believe. Admittedly, you have to pick your battles. Some things just aren't worth defending. But your faith, your family, your freedoms, they're worth defending. When what God has ordained and established is diminished, when you're being forced to compromise, stand up. Government-funded abortions, injustice, misinformation, lies, destruction of marriage and family, stand up. And here's the kicker. When I speak up of truth and justice, it's not just based on your definition or mine. It's a definition that is based on God and His timeless and eternal Word. This is Jim Garlow. There's more on today's issue at jimgarlow.com.
To boldly go where no one has gone before.
It's Faith Radio Mornings, and time to talk now with Ruth Kramer. Ruth is a regular contributor to the morning show. I always appreciate the opportunity to get a better understanding of how God is at work around the world and how we can be more effectively praying and engaged in the global cause of sharing Christ. Ruth Kramer is executive producer for Mission Network News and is with us on the line this morning. Ruth, good morning. I want to start out talking about Korea, because obviously lots of attention there as it relates to the summit. And, you know, North Korea has been an area of concern for a number of years. And what are you seeing as, you know, we get lots of attention about a meeting in Singapore?
Actually, it's not what you would expect. You know, as people are looking at the outcome of the summit, they're thinking in terms of security concerns. They're thinking in terms of opening the doors. And then we're expecting a lot of Christian NGOs to go flooding into North Korea with the humanitarian aid. And there are a couple of ministries that are basically saying we need to kind of take a step back and look at this for the situation that it is. Don't get sucked into the new shiny that is probably going to accompany the outcome of these summits, much like what happened with the Olympics. You know, North Korea came out and they just knew how to manipulate the media. So it came out, they looked fantastic, and yet it just completely ignored the fact that humanitarian issues in the country are so bad, that religious freedom is non-existent, that you're dealing with a tyrant in charge of a country that is known for its persecution of anything that is outside of the Juche system in North Korea, which is the worship of the grand leaders. So, you know, this is kind of one of those things where the people that are involved with ministry to Christians, to the underground church in North Korea, are very concerned. A couple of points here. I'm going to share a thought from Eric Foley, who's with VOM Korea, when we asked him the same questions that you're asking me. I'll share that with you in a moment. But I also want to talk about a prayer vigil that's taking place on Monday, June 11th, with Open Doors. So let me go ahead and play you his thoughts, Eric Foley's thoughts, on how we can really be looking at the summit. And then I want to share some information about the prayer vigil.
Those kind of phrases like, we need security guarantees, or please give us money, or let's end this war. All of those sound promising. But what we know as Christians is that unless there is a fundamental heart change on the part of the leaders of North Korea, then all the promises that are made at the summit will amount to nothing.
That's really what he says that the underground church of North Korea is also saying. So they're not expecting things to change, because a lot of the same promises have been made and broken and made and broken. This is just kind of an ongoing cycle, and nothing changes unless the heart changes.
No question about it. I know that in your report, MNN Online, you do mention that there's maybe a changing viewpoint of South Koreans looking at North Korea, but that doesn't mean that Kim Jong-un has changed any of his ways, or that people are any better off in North Korea.
And actually, what was surprising is that ministry from South Korea into North Korea has gotten a little bit challenging, too. One of the things that VOM Korea does is gospel balloons. So they launch these balloons from the South Korean side into North Korea with scripture portions and tracts and things like that. And lately, South Korea has been blocking them from doing that, because they're looking at these movements as anti-national, anti-Korean, anti-North Korea, anti-peace, because it's doing something that that gets North Korea upset. So for VOM Korea, this is something that's turning into a challenge they weren't expecting. So when we're talking about prayer vigils and needing to surround these kinds of situations and the summit that's coming up in prayer, this is what they're facing. On the other side of the summit, there's going to be challenges to ministries from South Korea into North Korea, because anything that upsets North Korea will be construed as anti-peace. And it just, you know, your brain starts twisting around a couple of times trying to understand the logic of it, but that's the reality.
You mentioned the prayer vigil, which is an online vigil going on today as we lead up to the summit, right?
Right. So Open Doors is having this thing. It's a webinar. There's a number of times that, it's actually going to be beginning at the website, which you can have the links for. I think you guys can post the links for that. OpenDoorsUSA.org/pray-for-North-Korea, #4, pray for North Korea. And the time, it starts at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And it's a webinar to pray in advance of the summit for the things that God can do.
So needed anytime. We've been calling for prayer for North Korea for many years, and I think now it's as critical as ever. Another area of prayer and need is in Guatemala, and we've just been seeing the pictures are pretty stunning, and just realizing how many people are affected by the volcano there. Say a bit about what you know happening in Guatemala.
Well, this is... It's terrible. You know, I have a close friend whose son just wrapped up an internship literally a week ago in Guatemala. So he was in the area where some of the villages were buried, and he's home now, but he's looking at the destruction and his heart just is cracking for the friends that he made in Guatemala, for the people that he knows that who've been displaced, who've lost their homes. The ministry is AMG International, and we know that there are a lot of organizations and ministries working in Guatemala, but I'm focusing here on AMG because of the connections there and because they've been fairly outspoken in what's going on. Their community in Guatemala has been strongly affected because people that they work with, communities that they have helped, that they're near, have lost their livelihoods. The crops they've planted have been destroyed. It's going to take a couple of years to come back from it. So you're losing livestock, you're losing farm food, the production of food, and it's going to take a while to be able to come back from that. In addition to the issues of the clean air quality, the ash that's come down is also very dangerous. So you've got a lot of issues right now where mission teams are on hold because it's not safe to go back in there. The volcano continues to be active. I think as of Tuesday, there was yet another eruption. So the rescue workers that are trying to help people who may have survived some of the earlier blasts are unable to do the work that they need to do to help the people who may have survived. So there's some very difficult situations there. The ministry is actually kind of using their different centers throughout Guatemala as points for shelter, for food, for clothing, for places for the displaced families. Some of the areas are completely destroyed, so they're having to kind of reroute everything. Other areas are having to clean up again before they can actually do that because they have to clear the area of the poisonous ash. So what they're saying is they really need a lot of prayer. Their staff is, you know, going at it with a will, and they're going to need strength because this is going to be a long-term kind of a recovery. And they're going to need help because now they're dealing with just trying to meet needs they weren't prepared to meet. There are big government agencies that are stepping in, and that's helpful. But there's also needs for medication. There's a lot of burn victims. So we can keep people up to date on what's going on with that as it continues to unfold.
Check out more connections and information online. MNNonline.org is the website for Mission Network News. Ruth Kramer is executive producer of Mission Network News, a regular contributor to Faith Radio Mornings. We'll take a quick break and talk more as we head to Nepal in a couple minutes. Stay tuned. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings and talking today with Ruth Kramer. Ruth from Mission Network News. She's executive producer there and anchor. And we get updates on a regular basis about God at work around the world and where there are areas of need and concern, the prayer opportunities. You can always find out more on the website, mnnonline.org. And Ruth, I want to talk a little bit about Nepal, some things changing there, some areas of concern.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't pick the easy stuff,
no,
do you?
No.
All right. So Nepal has been dealing with kind of a change, a shift towards communism for the last couple of years. And that has been an issue of concern for believers because they went from a monarchy and a certain perspective with that monarchy into more of a secular government after the royal family was murdered. And they kind of moved away from that type of government into something that seems a little bit more familiar with a parliament and that kind of thing. Now you have elections that have taken place, and two of Nepal's biggest communist parties have combined to create the big communist party, the Nepal Communist Party, which now holds 2/3 of the majority in parliament. So already that's going to be an issue. We've seen an anti-conversion law kind of being kicked around for the last couple of years. But because Christians were actually invited to be part of the constituent assembly that was rewriting the new constitution, there was some hope that the ideas that behind the anti-conversion legislation were going to maybe not have as much influence and perhaps avoid having a law on the books. That did not come into play because it took forever for the Constitution to actually be finished. And at the end of the writing, you do have an actual anti-conversion law on the books. Some of that could be from the influence of India, and it's thought to be heavily influenced by what's going on with India because of the the issues of aid and the financial issues that come into play with that and the blockade that came in with that. So it's sort of seen as a political bow to some of the influence in the area that makes things very difficult for ministries who have just been able to get in on the ground there. Asian Access is one of the ministries who's been working there for a while, and they come in not under the radar screen. They come in at the invitation of Nepali Christians who are looking for ways to be trained, to multiply elite church leadership, to really disciple, to figure out how to grow the church with a Nepali context. And so Asian Access has been there, and they're training people who are training other people. They're training the trainers to lead the church. And that's good, but right now they're saying there's some concern because of the change in the anti-conversion legislation. The overall feel from the government is much less friendly and open than it was a couple of years ago. And right now what they're starting to experience is actual physical attacks on small churches, on big churches, attacks on church leaders, on Christians, and really no response from the government. So it's sort of almost attacking with impunity kind of a feeling. And so they're asking us to continue to pray because ministering, sharing, wearing the name of Christ in a situation like that, you feel very vulnerable and you feel like you've been forgotten if it's been kind of an ongoing situation. And you get discouraged when you feel like you've been forgotten. So they're just asking us to continue to pray, to continue to share these kinds of stories. Not everything resonates with everybody, but if this resonates with you, find out more. Get involved at some point and let them know that you're praying for them.
I have just a couple minutes of our time left, but I know that in places like Nepal, where there has been, I guess, repression for some time, that we do hear reports that the church has been growing. So, and I guess that's probably the case globally, isn't it? Where there's persecution, the church continues to grow. And so we need to continue to pray for these believers as they can be strong in their faith.
Absolutely. It's a huge encouragement when you're walking through something that's very difficult. You know, think about your church pastors when they're dealing with really hard things and someone comes around them and says, let me pray with you. What can I pray for you? And just continue to carry your needs to the throne of grace. How encouraging that is to your church leaders. It's like that, only it's a different country.
good word. Ruth Kramer is executive producer of Mission Network News. We've got the stories updated regularly at mnnonline.org. And so, Ruth, we always appreciate the encouragement. And you know, there's a lot more issues that we didn't have a chance to touch on today, but I know you can find them all online, right?
Yeah, please join us online at mnnonline.org. We cover a lot of different things from different perspectives with a look at how this impacts the gospel.
I always appreciate the opportunity to expand our vision, our horizon a bit, and the call to pray. Remember, of course, the prayer vigil going on for the North Korean summit, opendoors.org/pray-for-North-Korea. Check that out. We'll have a link as well. Ruth Kramer joining us today on Faith Radio Morning. All right, 4 minutes before the top of the hour, that website again is opendoorsusa.org. Then it's pray for, the number, pray for North Korea. We'll wrap up hour one in just a minute. Thanks to Ruth Kramer for joining us these past few minutes. And one of the topics, of course, talking about North Korea, we'll get more on that next hour, as David Aikman joins us, talking a little bit about that important summit going on. And you've got some things to pray for in North Korea. There's the opendoorsusa.org, pray for North Korea. Pray for the release of more than 50,000 plus Christians unjustly held in detention centers and prison camps. Hard to imagine that, isn't it? And 2 out of 5 currently undernourished. That is it's a difficult country, North Korea, so remember to pray for them. And be a part of that summit, prayer summit taking place today starting at 8 p.m. tonight. And find out more online, opendoorsusa.org/pray-for-North-Korea. All right, we're going to talk about another serious issue. The issue is suicide. Numbers suggest up 40% in parts of the country. Dr. Linda Mental joins us next hour to review that for us as well. And then Dr. David Aikman coming on board. So a great hour ahead here on Faith Radio Mornings as we continue this Monday, June 11, 1936. In this date, the Presbyterian Church of America was formed. And 1987, Margaret Thatcher became the first British Prime Minister in 160 years to win a third consecutive term in office. So, salute to Margaret. More coming up on
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.